Okay, we continue with the Tanya in the ninth chapter with the commentary of the Chassidus Mavoris on page Lamed Dalet. We're discussing how the godly soul's intention and its desire is to force and to change the animalistic soul to want the things that the godly soul wants. And we explained that the animalistic soul is a pure essence of desiring pleasure. It's a pleasure-seeking entity. So the pleasure-seeking entity doesn't discriminate between pleasures. As long as there's a pleasure that keeps it happy, then it's happy. Now, obviously, what the simplest pleasures are the ones that it relates to most obviously, which are the physical pleasures of life, and that's the one it will be drawn to first. So I believe we're in the middle of page Lamed Dalet, and he's going. And the idea, therefore, is for it to want, to lust and desire. It's a power of taiva. The purpose is change it for lower level taivas to higher level taivas, to have a taiva for Hashem and things like that. So to change it from one extreme to the other. So we're in the middle of the page. Klomar, meaning to say, Hamshicha hativi shel hakocha misava shel nefesh habahamis latunu golem hazeh eino hechrech b'tzad etzem ahusa. The natural drawing of the power of desire of the animalistic soul for the physical pleasure of this world, this isn't something that has to be because the essence of the animalistic soul. Because its main essence is to be drawn after anything that will cause it pleasure. It doesn't matter if the pleasure comes from God or from physical things. Lahavdil, for example, So why does it pick physical pleasures? Because the natural pleasures of this world happen to be from this world, but that's the one it relates to quickly. But if a person serves Hashem in a way that the animalistic soul will come to the understanding that the greatest pleasure is the pleasure of God, then so it will also want to cleave to Hashem because that's the most awesome pleasure. So the animalistic soul isn't very bright. It just wants pleasure. Okay, so whatever pleasure you give it, it will take. And it will choose the better pleasure over the lower pleasure. Now, it has to be convinced that serving God is a pleasure. That's the problem. Most people are saying, just do your Yiddishkeit. I know it's terrible, but we have to do it, and that's all. So the animalistic soul is going to fight that. The animalistic soul doesn't think, right? Now your mind may say, listen, it's the right thing is to be a Jew, right thing is the Torah mitzvahs, that's it. But I don't enjoy it. I don't enjoy being a Jew. Then you got big problems. Because if you don't enjoy being a Jew, that means the animalistic soul is not on board and will fight you every day.
It's a daily fight.
Will fight you every day. Person has to develop an enjoyment of Yiddishkeit. It's got to really, and that pleasure of Yiddishkeit has to be greater than the pleasure of the computer. That's all.
The bed.
Or anything else.
Yeah.
Right? That's
getting out of bed.
That's where it has to be. Once the animalistic soul buys into it, then it will do it. The body will be won over without any question. We know the animalistic soul can get up early in the morning to take a 4 o'clock flight to Miami. Because of being in Miami is more pleasurable than being in Toronto. even though getting out of bed is not pleasurable. But being in Miami in the winter is more pleasurable than sitting in bed and getting up late in Toronto in the cold winter. It's just a question of what's more pleasurable, what's less pleasurable. It will always, and it'll make the effort to make, to get what is more pleasurable for it. So we've got to just figure out a way for it to realize if, you know, Torah says, L'hisanig al Hashem, the whole point is to delight in Hashem. And, you know, spiritual pleasures can be delightful. If you get the animalistic soul on board, then it will be happy. So now you can already begin to understand a little bit about, you know, like why we have good food on Shabbos and all that kind of stuff. Why? Just to neutralize the animalistic soul. So, you know, it really, 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 a real tzaddik could even fast on Shabbos. But you got to be a real tzaddik for that. You've got to have cultivated a deep, deep love for Hashem. Most people aren't going to be able to manage that. So let's take care, let's at least neutralize the animalistic soul. He's going to get a good meal. So get a good meal. I'm willing to sing some smiros. I'm willing to say a few divrei Torah. You know, at least because if you're hungry, the animalistic soul, which doesn't taste Shabbos yet, hasn't tasted Shabbos yet, he's going to be fighting his whole Shabbos bit. So I don't like it at all.
So, I guess it has to be more than willing to sing more spirits, but actually taking pleasure in those too.
Well, in the beginning, probably not. You know, everything in Yiddishkeit, mitok shelo lishma bo lishma. Why do you have the whole idea of lo lishma? Mitok shelo lishma bo lishma. Why? Because the animalistic soul, man, if you don't give it some shelo lishma, it ain't playing ball. And when you're a young child, you don't understand, you know, that Hashem is the best and all that stuff. So, okay, so you learn your Gemara, we'll give you a chocolate bar. Okay, I'll learn my Gemara. So that all you're doing is to quiet down the animalistic soul. So it'll say, okay, Shabbos is not such a bad day. But it's certainly, but the hope is that one day you'll be mentally intelligent enough that that will be able to start to impact on your godly soul. You'll convince yourself that it's a greater pleasure. That's not going to happen in the beginning. And if you're not in the beginning, the animalistic soul says, I just have to, it's got to be fun. I got to like it. Well, okay, so we've got to, as much as possible, make the animalistic soul happy. As long as he's happy, he ain't going to give you trouble. But you have to be careful, because the ways you make him happy could get you into trouble. So you have to be very careful. So we'll see. He's going to explain more. It's a long way to go till we've won over the animalistic soul.
It seems like the problem is later in life when you can get those pleasures without Yiddishkeit.
Well, question.
You have a struggle.
Well, then you have to be adding in different pleasures. You have to keep raising the bar of what the pleasure is. All right? You know, even if it's kavod and things like that.
Yeah.
If it's kavod, kavod's a pretty good pleasure. So, and if money isn't an issue, you know, then, you know, if he's been raised to not appreciate what money can buy, then it won't become an issue. You have to be careful what pleasures you expose your children to.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, when animalistic soul comes to this understanding about the godly pleasures, hare yetzahara nisapech letov, then the yetzahara turns into good. Footnote 47. Hainu etzem koach hamisave, that essential power of drive and desire, that is the Yetzer Shelo, nita lava latov. It can now want and desire good things. Chazal karo lekoach hamisave. So what if Chazal called this essential desire for pleasure? What did Chazal coin the term? B'shem Yetzer Hara. Stop. It generally called it the Yetzer Hara. Why? Now, in other words, he's pointing out it's a misnomer. It's not the Yetzer Hara. It's the Koach HaTava, the power of desire, which is really neutral. But why are we calling it bad? The answer is Ufisha Koach HaMisav Shalom Shabamis Yetzer Mahusa, because the desire to the power to desire in the animalistic soul is its essential being. That's its essential being. And I guess, you know, we have to add It has a greater yearning in this world for that which is ra. Because this world, you know, what is ra? Ra is anything that takes you away from Hashem. So if anything takes you away from Hashem, well, this physical world, there's nothing greater than that that takes you away from Hashem. Okay. So therefore, it looks to what is the ease of entry. The ease of entry is that which is ra. That's the closest pleasures that it finds, the easiest ones to get into. So that's why they call it the Yetzer Hara, but it's really the Yetzer HaTaiva, the desire for Taiva. Now, if you get it into a good Taiva, then you're in good shape. You're in good shape. So therefore there's a lot of hope. It's not an essentially bad thing you have to destroy. You have to destroy it. You could let it have Taiva. It's no problem. Boy, I have such a good Taiva, they go to Gemara Shir. Wow. That's what Hashem wants. You know, and that's the whole point. And it's a very strong Taiva. Once that Taiva is geared in a spiritual direction, now you can really accomplish a lot. Without getting Yetzer Hara on your side, you're never going to be a great Jew. Because, you know, okay, when you learn Torah with your Yetzer Tov, that's going to be pretty pathetic. Because the Yetzer Tov knows what you're supposed to do, but doesn't have a great yearning. Doesn't have a great yearning, then, you know, you learn, but you don't have a Taiva to learn. If you have a Taiva to learn, then you're going to learn up a storm. Right? Then you're going to really be a Talmud Chacham. That's what they say. The Chidushei Torah that one comes up with in one's life, the Torah novelty, it comes from the power of the Yetzer Hara. It doesn't come from the Yetzer Tov. So that's what you need the Yetzer Hara for. So therefore, even though we call it the Yetzer Hara really is that manifestation of the power of Taiva that emanates from the animalistic soul that is focused on the easiest entry of pleasure, which is usually Ra. But in the brackets of footnote 47, he says, but the bad mitos that are in the animalistic soul, that comes from the bad elements in it, that you can't change to good, right? But you got to get rid of them. Okay, let's say, you know, wanting revenge, laziness, all these other things.
Jealousy,
get rid of them. You gotta nullify them. There's no use for them. These things. Arrogance. There's no use for it. So you gotta get rid of it. We'll see how. Anyway, so this is the name of the game. Now, page Lamed Hey. But then in the brackets he says, but for the godly soul to be able to turn over the Yetzer Hara for the good mamish, which is mamish to come to love Hashem, those words that David HaMelech says, my heart's pining for Hashem. I'm lusting for Hashem. That's really, you know, instead of a person lusting for women, he's lusting for Hashem. So that's unbelievable. But that's not enough that the love of Hashem overflows from the right ventricle into the left ventricle. Right? Because that will only force it, as we'll see. But the godly soul has to reach a certain level of love of Hashem. And we'll see what that level is. He's going to talk about two levels, which are very important now. Says the Baal HaTanya. V'hainu, how does this happen? Shiyala v'yavo v'yil madregas ava rabba v'chili yasera mi madregas ava asa karish v'yesh. You have to reach a level of abundant love, extreme love, way higher than the strong love of fiery coals. He'll explain all this. Says the Chassidim of Vors. Be'avas Hashem yeshtei madregas. There's two levels of love of Hashem. Number one is called Ava Aza Kirish Be'esh. One is called a strong love like fiery coals. What is that? Hanu regesh shel tzimon l'lakus. That's a feeling of thirsting for God. Like a person who's found distance from the place he loves to be at. And a heart is burning like fiery coals with a feeling of thirsting and yearning for something it wants. In other words, it's the passion you have of wanting something you don't have. And you you're yearning so strongly for it, you're burning for it. I can't wait, you know, for this pleasure that is eluding me. And that great fiery yearning, that's a pretty strong love. But right, basically it comes because of the absence of what you're looking
makes
for.
Makes the heart go fonder.
That's right. But Beis is the Ava Rabba V'chivi Yisera. That's the great love and the extended love, which is that Hainu Ava Gavoa V'nalis Yos Medrigas Ava Kesh. It's a higher level than the love of fire, which we'll see is the love of water, like water. There's love like fire and love like water. If you want the animalistic soul to turn over to be completely good, you have to reach this higher level of Avashem, which he will explain. What is this higher level? So now the Baal Tanya says, if Avarabazu, what is this love, this higher level love, what is it called? We alluded to this a few weeks ago. Nikris Fakasov and Shir Shir, which you're going to say today, is called Ava Betanugim, love in the delights. Love, Ahava Betanugim, that's what Shlomo Melech calls it. Love in the delights. Now the Chassidus Mubarak will explain what that means. Madregas Ava Rabba Chibi Serin Slo Nika because of Avatanagim. Shuregesh Sho'oineg Mehadover Ha'ov Alav. This is the feeling of delight from the thing that you love. Ki Ha'ava Karish Be'esh Bo'amachmas Arichu Minadavrov. The love of fiery coals comes from the distance of the thing that you love. Hamar Regesh Shol Tzimarlov, which arouses a feeling of thirst. Filo Ava Batanugim Bo'ame Regesh Akir V'lov. But that feeling of love, of the delight, comes when you feel the closest of what you love. You know, let's say on a very simple level, it's a hot, hot, humid day, and you are really thirsty. Boy, would I love a cold beer right now. Man, I'm dreaming of that cold beer. Now, I really need a cold beer. So you really are yearning for that cold beer. And, you know, sometimes, and therefore, when he sees at a distance there's a beer stand, he'll start running. He's on a fire for this. But then you open up the cold beer and now you drink it. Now, what's the greater pleasure? That feels good. Right? That's the higher pleasure. I'm actually enjoying it. As opposed to yearning for it, I'm enjoying it. It's amazing. So he's going to give a different mushel, but I'm just saying on a simple level, that is a higher pleasure. That's the pleasure of delighting in the object of your love. You're delighting in it. You know, you could have a couple who are engaged, and the husband's he's pining for his fiance. He can't wait to get married. He's on fire. But then when they're together, it's a greater pleasure. It's the pleasure of the object itself is a greater pleasure. Let's see how he explains. Yeah. Well, sometimes you think it's going to be good and it ain't that good.
I don't even mean that. The duration of the pining sometimes lasts longer than the satisfaction of having.
No, but then
so once you've had, sometimes that's very limited. You've had and that's it's over. And pining can go on for longer.
If it's good, then you want it again.
Right, if it's real.
See, real. Physical pleasure, sometimes when you get it.
So physical is limited. I'm just saying, you're right, that's physical. But now
we're talking about
spiritual pleasure. I was only using it as an analogy.
Okay, maybe that's why.
We want them to want them spiritual pleasures. We can explain the differences by using the analogy of the love of a son to a father. A son can have love for a father because he's so far away from the father. His heart is burning like fire with feelings of thirst and yearning and longings to be with his father that he loves until his soul is just going out and it's screaming out, "When will I see his face?" Next page, Lamed Vav. Ah, Kasher Ben Zeh Shoh Yibarich Gmakom Matzlich Lomalis Chukosov V'Chozel Afi V'Shoh B'Veisu Meshech Zman. But if the son, who had this great yearning from a distance, now is successful to fulfill his desires, and he gets to his father, and he stays with him for a while, there's no place for the thirsting. His heart's not burning like fire to his father. He's with him together in his company. Are you going to say that the feelings of love like coals have totally left him because of the love, because that love has weakened? No, b'vadei shelo. After the opposite. Now it's revealed inside of him a deeper love for his father. What is the whole concept of love? Love is the desire to be close and to cleave to the one that you love. Ava means I want to be close to that person. The gematria of Ava is echad, one. I want to be one. I want to be with that person. That's what I really want. So now you have what you really want. Now that love comes to its ultimate goal. He now actively is in the company of his father. But it is a totally different type of love. He doesn't express itself with yearnings and thirst, but rather it's pleasure. That comes as a result from cleaving to the object of your love. That is in his same company. Okay, so if you're yearning and yearning and yearning for something, that's one type of love. You're on fire. I have to have it. I have to have it. I have to have it. And you're feeling a certain closeness that how badly you want it, right? But then on the other end, if you really have it, then you're experiencing the pleasure. When you're experiencing the pleasure, you're not on fire. You're just in a state of delight. Right, so that's an altogether qualitatively different type of love. V'kach gam benimshol. So it is in real life. Av betanugim, the love of pleasure. Bo mikach she'or Eloki nimshol zav sochmavshol. That comes when the godly light is drawn and revealed inside your soul. Hagilu ad kidekach. The revelation is so strong. Shekir zegarim lo oinig niflo v'elokos. That closeness can cause a wondrous delight in Hashem. This is what the ultimate goal is. That your godly soul is totally connected to Hashem, feels it, feels the connection and the closeness, and is delighting in it. And we are wired to be able to have that pleasure. That animalistic soul isn't going to have that pleasure yet. It's got to first be part of the godly soul. Then from the godly soul, it will spill over into the animalistic soul. The animalistic soul will pick up on it. We'll have to see how. But that's the only type of love that's going to win over the animalistic soul. When you really are enjoying the pleasure of being in Hashem's presence. Now that can come and go, so to speak. You have to sometimes work a long time to cultivate the growth of the godly soul, or the revelation of the godly soul within you. And then when you have that moment of tanug, then you'll see how the Yetzer is going to go, that animalistic soul is going to come right on board. But that feeling can get lost too. You have to be very careful to hold on to that, as we'll see. Next five words of the Balatanya. So he's saying you have to have this great love of delight, and what is that? So he defines it. Lisaneg al Hashem me'ein olam haba. To delight in Hashem as it is a taste in the world to come. As it will be in the world to come. The world to come is no animalistic soul, it's only a godly soul. It's only a godly soul. The godly soul is next to Hashem and enjoying that. So now you have to have that feeling in this world, a taste of it. When you have that taste, that's enough to change your animalistic soul here. Explains the Chassidus Mavoris. Lamito Shalova, the truth of the matter is, Ava Lelokis, Vimbachinas Ava Batanugim, Yischar and Nishama Bailamabo. The truth of the matter is, this love of the delight of being close to Hashem, that is the real reward that you have in Olam Haba. That is the reward of Olam Haba. That you're feeling that closeness with Hashem. Did you see who came in?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody came in. I think they opened the door and then... I don't know, maybe they had the wrong door.
Oh,
that's fine. Okay. So, Bo, HaNeshamas, and in that place, the souls are delighting from the radiance of the Shekhinah. They are delighting with the revelation of the godly light. Tzaddikim merit in this world, inside the body, to the light in Hashem as a taste is of the world to come. That is the desire and the wanting of the godly soul. That's, if you ask the interview the godly soul when it comes to this world, what is it that you want? This is what it wants. That in its heart, in the human heart, it doesn't want to reveal only the fiery coals of yearning and longing from a distance. It wants that level of love of the delight. Only that love has the ability to change the Yetzer Hara and turn him up for the good. Now, in footnote 49, he says, even though not every person merits that level of love Hashem in his lifetime, as we'll see later on, but still in all, the desire and the yearnings of the godly soul, that's the same. That's for everybody. Every Jew, his soul is yearning for that. You may not be in touch with that yearning, but that's what your soul wants. The tzaddik is the one who's able to develop it, cultivate it, bring it out, and have it here.
So the tzaddik can have Olam Haba right here.
That's the whole idea. Right. That's the whole idea. That's the whole idea when the Gemara says that, you know, the idea being, you know, a person, we understand that we're in Golos. The real Golos, the real exile, is when the human being is exiled from his godly soul.
Yeah.
That's real Golos. You have a godly soul. You got a Beis HaMikdash right here. You've got that closeness to Hashem, at least in terms, remember this, Olam Shana Nefesh, the three dimensions of reality, the physical world, the time, and soul. Those are the three. The Beis HaMikdash in the place, in the world of place, right? The connection, Dveikus Hashem is Beis HaMikdash. In soul, it's the godly soul. In time, it's Shabbos. So two out of three we could have. If you get in touch with your neshama, if you're really there, you're going to have this great delight, this real closeness to Hashem. And Shabbos is the same thing. Shabbos, you could have this as well. So two out of the three you could have. So that's what we're trying to accomplish. So even though we might not be able to rebuild a Beis HaMikdash yet, but each individual can feel this closeness to Hashem, this intimacy from Hashem, on two out of the three dimensions that exists. Okay, so now, on page Lamed Zayin, he's going to explain the reason why it's this love that changes the animalistic soul, and not the other love. So we see there's two kinds of loves. Only the love of the delight, the actual enjoyment of God's divine light, when you experience that, that will turn the animalistic soul into being on side, change it totally, as opposed to the yearning for Hashem, which is on fire, which we'll see doesn't accomplish this. We will explain all this. Says the Balatanya, V'ha'enek, and this pleasure, where does it come from? B'moach chachma v'seichel amisanek v'askolas shem v'yesol. It comes in the brain of the wisdom, the intelligence, that delights with its understanding of Hashem. So depending on how smart he is and how much he can comprehend of Hashem. Remember, the godly soul's primary seat is in the brain, also in the right ventricle. So if this is a pleasure that has to be cultivated by the mind has to understand this. Explains the Chassidus Mevoaris. Tanug anishamos miziv hashchina b'olamaba. Let's think about a soul that's having pleasure of the divine presence in the world to come. How is that assimilated into the human being. Hutanaga Saga, it's the pleasure of understanding, comprehension. It's a comprehension pleasure. Kumvurla Ellis, we explained earlier. Means that movement in Yinab of Tanugim, this explains the concept of love and the delight. Lisanig al Hashem en al Baba, to delight Hashem from a taste of the world to come. Hu atanug, Mehasagas alkus, that is the pleasure of comprehending Hashem. Umakoma shel tanug zeh, and where is the place of that comprehension? Ubimach chach masechel, it's in the brain. Shari amoach hu, hamisanig bechsol shem yir, so it's the brain that takes delight in Hashem. If he has sagas sechel vachon, so depending on how much it can comprehend. There is a there is a pleasure of the mind. It's a pleasure of the mind. You know, why do people try to figure out Sudoku puzzles? Because it's a corruption. It's a corruption of a godly pleasure. It's taking the mind that really is supposed to be taking pleasure in Hashem and wants to take pleasure in Hashem. So now this, what's happening here is the exact opposite. Just like we're trying to say, we want to take the animalistic soul and turn it over to love godly things. So God forbid you can take the godly soul and have it love ungodly things with its mind. Remember, the animalistic soul is the drive for pleasure, the drive for pleasure. The godly soul is the desire to comprehend things. It's different. It's different. It's an intellectual pleasure. So you can see a guy who really is good at Sudoku puzzles, you can imagine how if he's a Jew, how his neshama saying, I could have been enjoying Gemara. Could have been enjoying Gemara. Right? And when a person, you know, really appreciates Hashem, right, that's where the real pleasure of the godly soul comes from. That's what's going to happen in the world to come. Hashem's going to show you more and more of who and what he is, and it's going to be an intellectual pleasure. That's what you comprehend. That's what gives you the pleasure. That's being intimate. As we talk about this intellectual intimacy, an intellectual intimacy, right? You're totally into this. As you know, I'm intellectually bound with this idea. Let's explain a little bit more. The delight of pleasure, it flows from cleaving to the object of your love. Shemisanik medvekus, you take pleasure in that cleaving. Vinyan hadvekus velokus, so what's cleaving to Hashem? What is that? What is that? Gilu araloki v'damsharim, it's revealing the godly light in the soul of the human being. Now what's that? V'rei gilu zeh u'besecholim, that revelation is in the intellect, the seichel of the human being. Shbohu maskul mask Hashem, there is where he comprehends Hashem, according to his level. That's where you catch the light. The godly light needs a receptacle to catch it. And what is it? That's the brain. Says footnote 50. Gili or Hashem, ubeikar besech adam, the revelation. In other words, you say, I see the light. Well, where are you going to see the light from? You're going to see the light in your brain. Your brain sees the light. Now I understand it. Now it makes sense. Now I see the light. Light is clarity. Things are clear. Remember, the mind, we'll talk about it tomorrow morning, the mind looks for chachma. Chachma is clarity. It's got to be clear. It's so clear. It all makes sense. Right? And that, and when it all makes sense, wow, it feels good, right? You're learning a parsha class. We start off with 6-7 questions. The whole parsha makes no sense. It makes no sense. I don't understand. Okay, we lay down one or two main principles, and now the whole parsha makes sense. Now, you go, ooh, that feels so good. Where does it feel exactly? Here. The brain says, wow, it all, the brain wants everything to fit into the right place. The brain likes clarity. Now the ultimate clarity is Hashem. That's the ultimate clarity. So when you have that, that's not something you can eat. It's not something you can smell. It's not a five senses animalistic soul pleasure. It's up in the brain. That's the seat of the godly soul. It's a godly pleasure. Now it's like you go through a whole parsha. Nothing makes any sense. You're in the dark. I don't know how to explain this to anybody. I'm reading it; it doesn't make any sense. Then the mind grasps the idea, the central idea, weaves through the whole thing. Says, "It's so clear to me now. I can see clearly now. I know exactly what this parsha is coming to teach us." Now that's the light. The light is shining. I'm not in the dark anymore. I see, and if it's Emes and it's Torah and it's true, then that's a godly light, as opposed to, God forbid, a Sudoku puzzle, which also will give you pleasure. You'll get a lot of pleasure figuring it out, if that's the pleasure you're looking for. I frankly have no interest in these things. But a person can be trained to like this. That's what we're going back to, what the Baal Tanya said, the terrible thing of secular knowledge. If you're going to love secular knowledge, you're going to be in big trouble, because it's taking up all the space of the intellectual love. You don't want to spend your brain power on mundane things unless they're godly things.
Seeing the complete picture of a jigsaw puzzle is not... It's like seeing the complete picture of a parsha, but it's like...
Yeah, but it gives you nothing.
Right.
It gives you nothing. Now that pleasure... Okay, where am I now? I'm in the footnote over here. The power of the intellect is the ability to comprehend the essence of the truth that was beyond it. But in a way that the concept penetrates into his brain. And it catches in. It's grasped. Midos. What about midos? Character. Behavior. That's how man relates to it. If he wants to get close or distance from that light. It's not the truth. Being a humble person is not the truth. It's how you relate to the truth. If you really see the truth, and you see there's a God, and you really understand what God is all about, you understand everything He does, how are you going to relate to that? You're going to relate to that in humility, and all the wonderful. You will tell the truth. You won't lie. You will be patient. That's how you relate to the MS. But it's only when you got the MS.
The MS first, and then...
Yes, it's got to be the MS first. Right? Lo ha-emes shalder, but it's not the truth. Elokei said, ani, but rather how I, misyacheis elav, how I relate to the truth, mispama, and how I'm affected by the truth. Uvein therefore, klitas and tfisas gilia or ha-emes aloki, besocha nevesh, but the grasping of the revelation of the light and the truth of Hashem can only happen in the intellect. Nimtza shedveikus baraloki, comes out dveikus, cleaving to the godly light. He ikker beikker b'moch. It's mainly in the brain. The brain sees the truth clearly and is enjoying that truth. So if you clearly understand that truth, then the midos will fall into place. Then, of course, you're going to be humble, because the truth requires you to be humble. It's not me, it's Hashem. How could I be arrogant? How could I get angry? The truth is Hashem. Hashem does everything. Hashem does what's best for me. How can I get angry? But that's what you have to have. So that's the real pleasure, delighting in that pleasure. When a person comprehends that pleasure and he cleaves to this godliness, he feels in his soul a great, wondrous pleasure in Hashem. V'nimtza comes out, sheish heftel yosodi b'navas Hashem karish b'yesh l'ava b'tanugim gam b'mokum gilu ava. So now there's a fundamental difference between the love of the fiery coals of Hashem and the love of the pleasure in the place of where the love is revealed. B'derech klal, in general, mekomish alava hu b'lev, the place of love is generally in the heart. The heart is the place of feeling. Hamakom shel gili rikshe nefesh, it's the revelation of the feelings of the soul. Ma she'en kein, Ava b'tanugim, the love of the delight, she'inyona regesh al ava, mi'orif im regesh ha'oneg, its concept is a feeling of love that's mixed with the feelings of the pleasure. But since it's a pleasure of comprehension, not only in the heart because of the feelings of love, but also and primarily in the brain, because of the pleasure that's in the brain. The fiery one, that's the feeling. There's the understanding love and the feeling love. So the understanding love, that's in the brain. I'm loving getting this. But then you will have feelings of closeness to Hashem. This is so makes so much sense. And I'm there and I'm feeling my heart's gonna feel good with the intellectual awareness that it has.
And it's a symbiotic relationship because then you seek more understanding. Your heart desires.
Well, then if it spills over into the left side, it seeks more understanding. You know, that's what it's seeking. So that's something that's able to do. Now, why, again, he hasn't gotten to the Kabbalistic level, but right now we're holding at the point where he's saying that it's starting in the brain. The brain comprehends Hashem. The brain is delighting in Hashem. The heart, the right ventricle, is feeling this love that's coming out of the brain, that's appreciating this truth, and now your midos will all fit into place, and then it will kick in that your analytic soul will say, I want more of that. And now you've got everything on side. Now he's going to still have to explain, so what's the difference, you know, on a Kabbalistic level, how that's happening. We'll have to leave that for next week. It's a shame.